How many know simply the greatest investment you can make is yourself into the kingdom, right? Amen. To serve the King. He began with this scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. This is when Saul had been confronted by Samuel because he had disobeyed the word of the Lord. And he said to Samuel, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So God had done what? He gave Saul specific instructions. In verse 2, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Now that sounds a bit on the harsh side to me. And I'm wondering how many have looked at this and thought the same thing. Wow, that's pretty severe to kill children and animals and everything was to be wiped out. How many know that God is smarter than we are? God sees the big picture. If anybody's ever had frostbite before, you know, sometimes it's so severe that if you don't amputate that part that's frostbitten, it can cause gangrene and you could lose your life because you failed to take a severe step and sever a part that was diseased from your body. And this particular group of people were fully given, had given themselves fully to idolatry and in the destruction of God's people. And he knew that if they did not deal severely with this situation, that it was going to come back and bite him again in the future. And so Saul began to reason in his natural understanding. Probably, I'm sure Saul had also some other ideas that were not just because he feared the people, but maybe Saul had a little bit of ego going on there too. Despair of the best, you know, of the sheep and the oxen. And Agag, because when they would take a king at that time, often they would parade the king in front of the people and celebrate their victory and make a boast in their accomplishment. Are you with me? So I believe that Saul being soulish here is being reasoning things out in his mind, being what he thought would be rational, you know. It's a little unreasonable, isn't it, to wipe everything out? However, you know, if we don't listen to God, you know, we're going to find ourselves in the same situation that Saul did. How many know that there are consequences for disobeying the voice of God? Even as believers, there are consequences for not listening. God wants His people to understand His heart for them, His love for them, His desire for them is to do them good. He wants to do us good. But He can't do us good if we are rebellious against His method or His process for our lives. If we are trying to be wise in our own understanding and we're trying to bargain with God and we think we've got a better idea, we're going to be in trouble. We've all done it. We've all been presumptuous. We've all thought, well, God, did God really mean what He said? A little compromise, you know, won't hurt. Well, a little compromise cost Saul his kingdom and his life. A little compromise from the known will of God. Samuel was very clear when he spoke to him. He knew what God expected of him, but he refused to obey. Because of personal reasons, but also because of the pressure of the people who were probably also saying the same thing. That's ridiculous to destroy all these good spoils here. Are you with me? So let's rethink this a little bit. We know what the prophet said. We know what God said, but let's rethink this. Sometimes, you know, we think we're smarter than God. And every time we think we're smarter than God and we go contrary to what God says simply because it doesn't make sense to us, we end up kicking ourselves later. So because Saul was influenced by what the people wanted, he compromised the word of God. Now, you and I as believers are called upon, as citizens of heaven, as representatives of the kingdom government of heaven on the earth, to uphold absolute truth. Amen? The absolute truth of God's word. We need to seek Him. We need to know Him. We need to know His heart. We need to know His ways. We need to know Him who is the truth. Because you know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. It will protect you from deception and from lies and from the path of the enemy who is setting traps to destroy you and I. And God has given us the revelation. He's given us His word to protect us. And we need to uphold the truth of God's word. But in doing so, in truly living according to God's word, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you popularity. It's going to mean rejection at times. It could even cost us our life someday if we decide to uphold truth. And yet there can be no compromise because it is only the truth that sets captives free. Amen? People are not going to be set free because we have a watered-down, compromised gospel that appeals to the soulish person, the fleshly person. And in upholding the truth, it's going to mean that you're going to receive opposition from those who do not love God, who do not want the truth, and yet we cannot compromise what God says. Luke 9:23, remember Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." It means to utterly disown your life. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Folks, and this is what the main point is here, is that it is impossible for you and I to live the truth if we do not deny ourselves. If we are not delivered from ourself, we will not uphold the truth. We will only do what feels good, what makes logical sense to us, and what our will wants to do. Isn't that true? If we are going to be upholders of the truth, if we are going to be a people who God can use in this world to set captives free, then we've got to deny that part of us that wants to reason out what God says very clearly in His Word. And to change it or adjust it to fit my lifestyle. We can't be controlled by our emotions, by our intellect, or by our will. You know, so many Christians, come on, let's face it, we're so easily influenced by the opinions of others. You know, we can't even take the rejection of people not liking, just not liking us because we're followers of Jesus. If we're soulish, if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, are you with me? And if that part of us, that self-life, is not kept in check and humbled by God, then what's going to happen is you're going to yield to that nature, that old nature, that part of you that has to die, and you're going to end up compromising the Word of God in the presence of people that don't love God. You're never going to lead anybody to Jesus by compromise. Are you with me? We have to hold the standard of God, which is His truth. And in doing so, it will mean there will be persecution. There will be opposition. There will be pressures. There will be difficulties because of the Word. I mentioned this morning how so many times young people and older as well, they have boyfriends and girlfriends and they compromise their morals because they want to please their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Why? Because they're making an emotional decision. They're not listening to the voice of truth, but they're listening to their own desires, their own desire to be wanted, our own desire to feel needed, our own desire to be important, to be accepted. See, the part of us that rebels against what God is saying is the part that has to die. And whenever God speaks to us, and in most cases, your soul is going to rise up and say, but I don't feel like it today. You know? Your intellect's going to kick in there and start reasoning things out and say, well, I don't really think I can do that. Well, no, you can't do what God tells you to do. That's right. That's why we must operate from the Spirit and not the soul. We must be led by the Holy Spirit in our spirit and not by our own desires. Our own desires get us into trouble. I used another example this morning of entertaining an off-color joke in the presence of people. Here you are, the Christian, and sometimes because they know you're the believer, the follower of Jesus, they will deliberately bring something up and then they will look at you and see what you're going to do. Now, we don't want to become a self-righteous snob and say, huh, I don't do those things. Are you with me? But we need to love those people, amen, that oppose and understand that what they are doing, they don't really understand. They don't really know what they're doing. Do you know that when we were living in sin, our life was characterized by sin? We didn't really know what we were doing. If we knew how much it hurt the heart of God and how destructive it was to us as well, we would immediately stop and say, I'm not doing that anymore. But because we're blind by sin, we don't realize what we're doing. Well, people out in the world are the same way, aren't they? They don't understand yet. Their eyes have not been opened to know what is real, what is authentic, what is true. And unless you and I hold up the standard of this is what is real, this is what is authentic, this is true, they're not going to know what's truth. Some Christian music is so, it's like, who are they talking about? We need to make our message clear, don't we? It's got to be in purity and clarity by the Spirit and not by the soul. And then we went a step further to where it comes down to family, spouse, husband, children, friends. Many Christians will compromise what the Spirit tells them to do. Are you hearing me? To please a spouse. Or to please a friend. Oh, I don't want to associate the ones who are being persecuted, so I'm going to come over here with my friend and we're going to avoid that. How many have compromised the will of God to please their friends? People follow people. You know, natural man is like a chicken that wallows around in the barnyard. Isn't that true? And what do chickens do? They devour each other. They're cannibals. Have you ever had chickens? They'll eat each other. They're nasty. And they're wallowing around in the poop. But we are eagles and we are to rise above that. We are not to get caught up in what is popular opinion and what others are doing. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asked. Well, some say John the Baptist, you know, whatever, Elijah. But who do you say that I am? It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what man's opinion is of Jesus. Amen? He is who he is. And you know what? We need to know something too. As individuals, we need to say the same thing. You know, it doesn't matter what people think about me. What matters is that God approves of me. God likes me. God loves me. God's with me. God's for me. And I'm going to uphold the truth. So often people are, you know, caught up with what the crowd is doing. Even Christians, you know, we get caught up in trends, don't we? What's the most popular thing going on right now? What's the coolest thing going on in the kingdom, you know? I went down to a youth rally one time, and there's these young people sitting around, and they're getting high on Jesus, and they're going like this. Whoa, Jesus is awesome. I kid you not. There's this thing going on among some of the young people in groups. It's just wacky, man. But if we're not careful, we'll follow the trend of what other believers are doing. And regardless of whether it's really of God or not, it's just as long as I'm part of the group. As long as I'll fit in. Are you with me? Now we know the world, we're not going to fit. But you know, even in the kingdom it happens where people start doing some goofy thing and people don't uphold truth. They just go along with the goofy thing. And people in the world are looking at him and say, these people are nuts. Now, sometimes God does things that we're not going to understand, and people of the world obviously are not going to understand the things of the Spirit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we do foolish things in our attempt to appear spiritual. But do you get it? Has anybody ever gotten caught up in what the group is doing? Yeah, some of us are better at not doing it. Some of us are nonconformists, you know. We're the misfits no matter what. Well, God wants us to be united, but he wants us to be united in truth and in love, right? His word is our standard. And listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The point here is that whenever people become followers of Jesus, sometimes even our families are going to turn against us. Amen. Spouses, children, parents. We need to make a choice, folks, who we're going to serve, who we're going to follow, who's going to be the number one in our life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen? You see, people, as you know, in many nations right now are paying the ultimate price with their own lives, with their own blood, because they have decided to follow Jesus. How many know that that's not some pseudo watered down, you know, lukewarm Christianity? That's the real deal. When you know it's sink or swim, you're in or you're out. And when Jesus laid it down, he said, this is it. You're either in or you're not. Many people didn't want to follow him anymore. Why? Because they loved their lives. I don't want to have to give up my stuff and my things and my desires and the things I want to do. And so what we've done is we've got a gospel of accommodation today that says, well, we'll make everybody happy. We'll make our church so that everybody feels good. We won't call it sin anymore. We'll call it living below your potential. Poor choices. But there's something, folks, even greater, you know, that is able to really to rob Jesus of his rightful place in our lives, and that is the love of ourselves. Yes, we can put family before him, but unless we get ourselves out of the way, we're also going to be a hindrance. Amen? Jesus said in verse 39, "He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it." The New Living Translation says this, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." In other words, we must be delivered from ourselves. You've heard me say it before, and it's true that if we talk about taking a city, we can't take a city unless you take you first. We cannot be effective for the Lord. We cannot be His follower unless we first take us. Amen? And you and I, our soul is submitted. It is like it is shrunk. It is rendered user-friendly. It has been broken sufficiently. So that now we're in a place where God can use us. Why? Because it's no longer about if I appear important to people. If I appear spiritual to people. If people notice me or not. How many know that's your soul? Your soul wants the recognition. Your soul wants to wave the flag and say, "Look what I did. Look how righteous I am." But your spirit is crying out for the heart and the will of God to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And it requires a broken person who has submitted themselves to the Spirit of God so the Spirit of God can move through us and touch the world around us. Are you with me? The attempt to spare our lives, folks, is the greatest waste of our lives. And the greatest use of our lives is to spend it in the service of Jesus. That's the greatest investment is to spend our lives in the service of Jesus. The person who denies himself for Christ will find life in its true fullness. How many are finding that out? The more that we let go of self, the more that we gain Christ. The more joy, the more peace, the more fulfillment there is. Knowing that there's a higher place for me. There's a higher life. It's a life in the Spirit of life of joy and peace. And it requires a denying of self. And the self fights against that. And the self reason was you say, "Oh, but you don't want to let me go. If you let me go, you're not going to have any more fun. You're going to lose pleasure. You're going to lose all this stuff." You know, and the soul argues and you say, "No, no, no, no. There's something better. I see something better. I got a picture of something bigger, something better. It's called the kingdom." And you shut up and sit down. You ever tell yourself to shut up? We have the ability to do that, don't we? And not be crazy. You can talk to yourself. Like David said, "I will bless the Lord," right? "At all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth." He commanded his soul to obey the Spirit. Again, Saul had a problem because he was more concerned about his self-life than the life of the kingdom and what God wanted to accomplish. I want to just say this. When Jesus had struggled in the garden and he had prayed and said, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me." He had that battle, didn't he, with the soul and the self-life wanting its way and not wanting to have to go through what he was called to do. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And remember his disciples, of course, they were in the garden with him. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. And he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." The what? Spirit is willing, But the flesh is weak. So we have to build our spirit. We have to pray lest we become P-R-E, right? P-R-E-Y, you've heard that. Because, you know, folks, let's face it. So often we think we know what's best for us. God, why did you do that? Sometimes we question God. I don't know if you ever have, but I have. And because we have our own opinion of what's best for us. And if we're not careful, we will start to pray against the will of God or our will in place of His will. And we'll begin to ask for things that God doesn't really want for us. If we ask anything, 1 John 5:14, what? Is that right? According to His will, He hears us. And so we need to know the heart, the mind of the Father, revealed to us by His Spirit, so that we will begin to pray in or call in, amen, into this realm what God wants to release from heaven. And whenever we pray in accordance with what God wants to do and what He wants to release, it's a done deal. It will happen. There's times when God gives us a word. He says He's going to touch somebody. You know? And I know it's God because He says, I'm going to touch this person. You've got to call him out. You've got to pray for him. Whatever. He works in different ways through all of us. But we've got to listen to that. Amen? If we listen to the Spirit. Because your soul will say, well, what if that's just me or just... You know, are you with me? You start to get in an argument. Sometimes you just got to step out and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And you know what? If people think I'm foolish, who cares? Because the wisdom of God is what foolishness to the world. They're not going to get you anyways. Resolve to know that. Why? Because you and I were once in the same place where we didn't get it either. We thought those people were nuts. Those creepy people, you know. They're always so happy. What's wrong with them, man? What are they smoking? I'm talking about real Christians, right? So, we often pray according to our will and hope it is God's will. Yeah. So what do? We start to name and claim what we want. And it's been popular, you know, the name it and claim it gospel. You know, you can name and claim a promise from God, but not according to your will. This is where we get into trouble because we think we know what's best for us. And so then we start to try to, you know, force God's hand to do for us what we think is best. Have your kids ever tried to get you to do something what they thought was best for them? And you knew as a parent that ain't good for you. I want that bag of candy. Oh, that bag of candy is not good. Oh, come on, give me that bag of candy. I want a bag of candy. And sometimes you just say, okay, just to shut him up, I'll give him the bag of candy. And then later he's going to be talking to the dentist, right? And when that drill comes down on you, you say, maybe they were right after all. You know, God gave Israel quail, didn't He, in the wilderness because they kept complaining about not having meat. But God was trying to work something out in their spirit. He was developing a people that would represent Him. And He was preparing them for what was coming, the promise. Promised land. But it wasn't the best. But because they kept complaining and begging God, He gave them what they wanted. But it says that He also sent leanness of soul, right? They had compromised something greater for the temporary. And sometimes that's the battle we have, is we want the now. We want it now. We want the temporary. And we're compromising the eternal for the temporary. So we've got to live out of our spirit, which is eternal, amen, with Christ, and live out the will of God. And we've got to deny ourself. what it wants, its passions, its desires, they have to die to the will of God. In other words, it has to become subservient to what the Spirit says. And I've discovered that when I start to obey the Spirit of God, that my soul begins to come into order. And even my emotions line up with the Spirit. Even my intellect begins to become what? Renewed. There's something that takes place even in the soul and the intellect. But it's not the place where you operate, because you don't dare operate from that part of you anymore, because you know that there's no fruit in that, and you don't have the confidence, the what? Self-confidence that you once had. That's a good place to be. Self-confidence, folks, is not biblical. It's not Christian. Self-esteem is not biblical. It's not Christian. You don't esteem yourself. You humble yourself. And God esteems you. Amen? He will esteem you. But you don't esteem yourself. If you esteem yourself, you're coming down hard. And yet we're teaching kids, and sometimes even Christian circles, they're talking this self-esteem stuff. And what they're doing is they're puffing up kids in their natural manner, in their soul, and they're setting them up. And they bait them with promises of this and of that. And if their character's not in order, if they haven't been brought to a place where they've been humbled before God, they're not in a place where they're going to be effective. Amen? For God, as a matter of fact, you're going to do more damage than good. I think we've all done some damage, have you? I hear that one, All right. We've all done some stuff that we regret, even in our zeal for the Lord. Because sometimes our emotions get the best of us. And we need to learn how to walk by the Spirit and not by the emotions. And if we're walking by the Spirit and we're building our spirit, then the emotions and everything will come again under that authority. And it'll come into order. So even you can feel God. How many know what I'm talking about? Do you feel God's presence? How many know that joy is a feeling? How many know that peace is a feeling? It's something you can feel. How many know that God is the greatest pleasure? He's the greatest joy giver. It's beyond this world. And we were talking about this Friday night. We were here at prayer. And we were talking about the young people and how we've been baiting them with all kinds of trappings and this and the bells and the whistles and the lights and all the stuff. And what's happened is that has become their God, the entertainment of church. And they've missed the greatest treasure of all, Jesus himself, who's far superior to any of that stuff. And they don't last long because they don't have the foundation. Their roots are not in him. Their roots have been in their friends and the play and the stuff that they did and the fun times, and they haven't understood the relationship. So sometimes, folks, we even command things that we think are best. I've done it. We've got to hear the voice of God. We've got to know what God is saying. And when we speak what he speaks, there will be life. When we do what he does, there will be fruit, right? So God's teaching us how to hear, how to walk with him. Following Jesus is not always getting what we want, but doing what God wants. And so in order to do this, we need to be delivered from ourselves. We cannot be chameleons. I remember a song by Petra back in the 80s. It's called Chameleon. Change with your surroundings. We become chameleons so that we fit in, you know. Now, I believe in such thing as cultural relevance, you know, that you don't have to look so oddball that people can't connect with you, or, you know, or feel like almost intimidated because this guy is like, he's just dressed weird, man. We don't dress like that around here. Are you with me? I like to call it sometimes we're sheep in wolf's clothing. I believe in special ops. There are people that, you know, they're on a covert mission, man. They'll get right in with them, and they'll get right into the pagan festival with them. They'll almost, they look like us, but there's something different about them. We do whatever it takes, amen, to reach a person without compromising truth. We must uphold the truth. And in order to uphold the truth, we have to deny ourselves. We have to be delivered from the self-life. And it is a process, and at times, in fact, many times, it's going to be painful. It's the discipline of the Lord, but it's the best thing for us. Now, you know, we talk about this. You're going back and your memory's rolling back and saying, yeah, I can remember sometimes a few things. And even things that you've already been through in your life, uncertain times in your life, times you didn't know if you're going to survive, you're going to live through it. And yet, you look back at it now and say, I see God's hand more and more. As I walk on this journey, I can look back and see God's hand all along in my life. And the things that were so big in my mind at that time, that often the enemy just exaggerated in your eyes to try to get you to doubt that God was even with you anymore, or even able to help you out of it. Now you can look back and say, the Lord was there all the time. He's helped me all this. We've come this far by faith. And so as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We've got to live beyond our feelings and our personal interests. I like what James said here in the New King James. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But he says, but now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Saul knew the good he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. And because of that, he had sinned against the Lord. There are times when God has made clear to us what he wants us to do, and we have to make the determination that I'm not going to allow myself to interfere with what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in my life. In the New Living Translation, in verse 15, it says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans. And all such boasting is evil. Do you understand that as followers of Jesus, we've been called to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him? That as followers of Jesus, it's no longer about my plans, folks. It's got to be what God says now. I don't own myself. He bought me with his own blood. Now I am to glorify God in my body for the rest of my life. I am to live my life consecrated, set apart to God for the will, for the purpose of God, so we will see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.